listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the gap patrol. Foes, they want to make sure my casket's closed. Rap critics say he's money cash hoes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with the hoes in your zapatos, I'm like, wait, hold on. You celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics. You can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you could pass fresh fast. Fast forward, got beef with radio. If they don't play my show, then I don't play they don't play my hits. Well, I don't give a shit. So, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Whew, and we're in the house on a Tuesday, right? No, Monday. Monday Night Football. That's right. Cam Newton is not playing tonight.
No, he's
not. So our team is probably about to be 1-4, 1-3, yes, something like that.
Yes, sir. And I've always told people, whenever we have an excellent year, as long as I've been a fan of this franchise, and I've been a fan ever since, you know, the inception, if we have a good year, the next year is horrible. We have never went back to back two good seasons in a row, ever.
So it'd be like that sometimes, but you know, it's all kinds of stuff to talk about besides us probably about to lose, you know. You guys know how it is. Maybe Derek Anderson can do it. You know, maybe Derek Anderson is just what we need. He just gonna come in and throw some touchdowns and we gonna win. Karen, let's be positive. We need to be positive about these things, you know. It doesn't have to all be gloom and doom, so.
No, I mean.
Go Panthers! We might do it tonight. This is what we have backup quarterbacks for, moments like this.
I really hope we do. I'm sorry that Cam is out, you know. I hope this give him, you know, a time to see color, but, you know, might not. He still might be colorblind when he come back.
Yeah. Yep. Alright, guys. Let's talk about, all kinds of stuff. This is Blackout Tips. You can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, The Black Guy With Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. You can listen to the show, watch us live, crowdcast.io. Crowdcast.io is where you can find the show live. There's people in the chat room right now. Hey, chat room, how y'all doing?
Hey, chat room.
And that's where the racism comes from, honestly, if you think about it. You can follow us on there and everything. But if you follow us on social media, we send out the links all the time. If you're in the Facebook group, we send out the links every time. The approximate time for the show, Sunday, 10 a.m., Saturday, somewhere between 10 and 2, like, yeah. We, you know. And then Monday through Wednesday, we typically start around 5:30 p.m. At the latest, if it's a late night, 7:30 or something. But, you know, so follow us on those social media platforms and you'll see it. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's show is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month. Getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about what's going on with the news and stuff. Well, I guess first thing we got to say is, we watched the debate last night too, y'all.
First one I'm watching this entirety.
First time Karen's watched a debate ever? No, you watched.
I mean, I watched the debate, but this is the first time, like, I've seen, like, in the recent debates that I watched it in its entirety, like, for this season. Like, even when Hillary,
I like that you said this season, because it has become just the America's worst reality show.
Yeah, and I want the season to be over. Can we get this season over?
Like, it really.
Second forever. Come on, we've been in this season for 3 years.
It's gone on so long that I like Hillary Clinton now. Like, that's how long it's gone. Is like, I legitimately.
Yes, you went from the bad guy to your star room.
It's like when you watch a TV show where you be like, I don't like this character. And then the character stick around so long, you get to know more of their backstory. Like, after last night's debate, I actually like Hillary Clinton because the audacity of what she's up against is so ridiculous. It's not like they're putting up a qualified candidate.
No.
Donald Trump started the debate by bringing four women that accused her husband of sexual improprieties to various degrees and had them sit front row. That's like some supervillain shit. That's like some shit you would see on a Disney movie at the end, and the basketball team brings, you know, your bully in to sit the front row or something. You know, it just it feels so weird. It's not like her husband's running for president,
right? And are we gonna have Batman, because we actually have a rich white dude that's trying to take over the world. We're gonna have Batman, Superman, is, you know, somebody gonna swoop in?
Yeah, Lex Luthor. It's Lex Luthor is basically Trump. It's wild, because like it really is like political theater of the lowest brow. And I mean, it's not like he's some paragon of virtue bringing in these women. This is a man that brought these women in because a tape of him talking about grabbing women's pussies came out. Like,
correct.
It's just like, what? When is this gonna be over?
Right. I've been wanting this shit over.
And in the debates, she proves over and over again that she's the only competent person on stage, which is Republicans' fault, by the way. It wouldn't have been that hard to elect somebody that would know the numbers, know the specifics of policy, know which positions Hillary took. He just sounds like the comment section on YouTube, or the, like, your one friend who is on Facebook going on rants, that just, he gets all his information from memes about anti-liberal memes, like just Republican memes about shit where it just doesn't have to make sense. It's not sourced.
He just swim through Reddit.
Like, most of her answers had to start with, okay, well, nothing he said was true. Go to my website to look it up, because you can't fact check him in real time, because he's just lying. Like,
right.
And the thing is, like, I was thinking about it this morning when it was over, and I was thinking about the questions they didn't get asked. Like, they didn't get asked about LGBTQ issues. Mm-hmm. They didn't get asked about over policing of black communities. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of stuff. The Native American issue with the pipeline. You know, they just didn't get asked about any of this shit. And I saw some people being like, well, they didn't ask these people about this stuff, and that I feel invisible or whatever. And I was thinking, like, they honestly never had time.
No.
They got asked about 5 questions the whole night in 90 minutes, and it was impossible to go back and forth, because every time a question started, he would just start attacking her on some different shit that had nothing to do with what the question was about. Now, we've watched politicians dodge questions before. That's, you know, that's terrible, but it's what they do.
Completely different.
I think the first question was about his pussy grabbing, and he ended up on ISIS. It's like watching a magic trick. You're just like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like a person that didn't study their homework.
Oh, he did.
But had to give a book report. And it was like, if I can just talk for 10 minutes, I'll have done something.
Right.
I don't know how this unqualified person is on the stage with one of the most qualified people we've ever had attempt to get to office, you know. And honestly, I don't know at this point what people are voting against. You know what I mean? Like, what are you, like, what is the thing that's driving you to be like, well, it's still gotta go for Trump here, or you know
racism.
What I mean, unless you're just right and
sexism,
like
homophobia, controlling women's body. Like, at the end of the day, I've said this on Twitter, I will continue to say this, there's nobody that's goddamn undecided.
Here's my problem with you saying though, Karen, all the Republicans are on that. You didn't name one thing he does that the other Republicans don't do. You see what I'm saying? They all, like, right? He's the worst of the candidates, quote unquote, but all of them hate women.
Right.
All of them are racist.
Right.
All of them, like, I don't understand how we got here. It used to be a time where you would politely put a racist up there.
Right. Now
this nigga just out here like, look at my dick. I grab these bitches by the pussy.
Right.
Vote for Trump.
He's not. He lost the quote unquote song and dance of the political process. You know, because the thing about it is that he's saying the same shit that they've been saying for years. But he is just not sugarcoating it. He's not playing the game. He's not making it nice and sweet for the people that are racist but don't want to believe that they're racist. Like, he's to the point where people go, yeah, I'm racist, but goddamn it, I'm not that racist.
Well,
which I don't even know if that makes sense, but you know, like, but there are people out there that goes, you know, I don't want them living next to me, but you know, goddamn, I don't go this far, you know. And it's just one of those things where I think to me the whole process is very frustrating. Truthfully, I don't give a fuck about nobody's emails. Right. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I don't give a fuck about ISIS. ISIS ain't pulling me over and shoot me in the street. Right. ISIS ain't what causes protests in my city. Fuck ISIS.
Right. He been on that birth certificate shit. It's just, I don't know, man. It was so wild to watch the debate, just cause, you know, it felt like something off a TV show, you know, especially with the mistresses in there, quote unquote, not even mistresses, victims. And then it's like his, and here's the part I have a problem with, really, cause the debate I don't have as many problems with. I know some people were like, well, why can't they moderate him and get him to shut up? He not going to, and it doesn't, I don't know what people expect from a moderator, but I mean, it's like y'all want them to stand up and say, shut the fuck up, but they're not gonna do that. And these are two people running for president, and they're gonna go over the time, and they're gonna keep going. And you know, a lot of times debates are really fucked up if to be honest about it, right? Because we ask people complex issues, questions with complex answers if they're being honest, and then we try to cut them off in 45 seconds, and we don't want them to address what they were attacked upon too. So it's like, if I say, Karen, what do you want to do about the deficit? And you start off and you're like, well, first of all, Rod is stupid and he never graduated high school. Now, what I would do about the deficit is the opposite of whatever his stupid ass would do. Well, you're going over time. Okay. Cause you haven't started your answer yet. And then when it's my turn, I gotta start with, well, I didn't drop out of high school. You guys can go on my website and see that I graduated from college. Like, I gotta start with that. Like, you never get to the fucking issue until you go back and forth three or four times, and then you get some semblance of an answer that's not detailed, because Americans are so fucking stupid. They just want like a, well, I'll just lower the tax and then that'll fix it. You're like, that's gotta be more complex than that. Cause one, a president can't lower or raise tax by themselves anyway. But we just want these stupid ass simple answers anyway. It doesn't matter the feasibility of it.
We want sound bites. We are literally a country of sound bites and snaps and 140 characters or less. Like, if you can't put it in a sound bite, the general public don't give a fuck. If you can't put it on Facebook or make a GIF out of it, most people really, you know, because our attention span, let's just keep this real, it's really short overall. Just general, overall, our country attention span is short. You know, all you gotta say is rat and people would go on to the next shit. That's just how this country functions. You know, I've just come to that conclusion. And I think for me, the biggest reason why I haven't watched, I mean, like I said, I've dipped in and out, but the biggest reason why I haven't watched most of them in their entirety, because my head explodes. Just listening to the stupidity and listening to the dumb answers, mm-hmm. and listening to the rambling and listening to them not answering questions and listening to people saying pointless shit, people saying lies, people not coming out with facts, people saying particularly Trump talking about how the government can do shit that the government can't do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, nigga, do you even know the three branches of government? What the fuck is happening here?
Well, like I said, that's not even a part that pisses me off. The only part that really, I had to change it, cause I did get mad. I was watching MSNBC, and afterwards, when you listen to the commentators, and it's supposed to be like your liberal, left-leaning, you know, point of view, right? These are your Democrat people, basically. And they are complicit in making sure the bar is low as possible for Donald Trump, and the purity test for Hillary Clinton is so high that no politician would ever be able to reach it. And they had nothing negative to say about the fact this nigga lied. I'm like, cause I'm watching it and it's simple. I'm like, oh, well, he lied for 90 minutes. That's pretty much disqualifies everything about him from this debate. And they're like, oh, he owned the stage, the way he was walking and the way he was talking and, you know, his tone. I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck? Do y'all not care about the content of what was being said? No. Do you not care about the fact that he's lying? The fact that he's badgering her? The fact that he's interrupting her and the moderators and none of it? It's just like, oh, he was just so good. It's like, and you're supposed to be the substance station. So like, this isn't a, oh, well, of course Fox News is just gonna be in the tank for this Trump, or you know what, like they literally would just, it's like it's in their best interest to say it was closed, it's in their best interest so you'll watch the third debate and shit like that. But honestly, it was just sad to watch, because like, you know, that apple headed motherfucker, Chris whatever his name is, no, it was the fuck is that dude's name, the one that's always yelling at people, what the fuck is that dude's name, he's always like he was the one who was angry about
Chris Matthews.
Yeah, he didn't like Hillary Clinton's tone when she was talking to Bernie. He said she was yelling. Chris Matthews be yelling all the time. I've never heard him say a sentence that's not yelled, you know. Bernie Sanders be yelling all the time. I was like he's completely sexist, and one of his first comments was like, it was like a domestic dispute, and I'm like, would you say that was two men? You know, with, like, when it was Barack Obama up there and Mitt Romney, did you say it was like a domestic dispute? Mm-hmm. No, it's because it's a woman on stage. He was pounding her. It's like weird shit like that where you're like, what are y'all doing, dog? Like, some of you want to pull your dick out of here. Like, what the fuck? It was just really embarrassing. We deserve better media. We deserve better media than what we have. It really was bad.
We really do, and I bet you probably could have turned on Al Jazeera or literally, I tell people, if you want to get American news, actually go to other countries covering American news. It's more informed, it's more detailed, they actually talk about facts. Like, when other people cover our news, it's actually better than our news is a fucking circus. It's just a goddamn circus to me. And it's about ratings, it's about viewership. I think, cause like I said, I watched bits and pieces of the last debate, and the thing somebody basically told Donald Trump, just keep talking and come out swinging and be aggressive, and that's what he did. And that's what they quote unquote said he basically won, but okay, that didn't prove anything to me. And like I said, most people have already decided. I think, in my personal opinion, I might be wrong. I think when they come out with these numbers for the polls, I think a lot of times they're lies. They're just to keep people, watching the debates. A lot of times, these quote unquote numbers, because it benefits the, media to tell you that the polls are closed to keep you in for the next, debate. And I think, I guess for me personally, I've been tired, if that makes sense. Like, I was tired a while ago. Like the season just dragged out. November can't come quick enough. I don't know when, but we gonna early vote as soon as possible, cause I'm just ready to get this shit over with. Come on, November 2nd.
Yeah, it's also wild too, because so many, like the questions were from the audience and stuff, and they were just like talking over, like, you know, it just didn't matter what the question was. Mm-mm. They were all just alley-oops to talk about something that they didn't ask. At least if any time Trump got involved, it just switched to whatever he wanted to talk about. And then the other thing that was really wild to me was like the ads afterwards and stuff. Did you see the ads after? It was like, you know, talking about Hillary Clinton is, oh, she, you know, she's the worst senator this, and she will take your jobs, and she's gonna raise taxes. And this ad is brought to you by Pussy Grabbers for Trump. I was like, come on, man. That is sad. All right. That is horrible, man. But at least they did talk about women's issues. You know, Donald Trump talked about grabbing women's vaginas. So,
yeah, they did.
That is, and then he also talked about, Bill Clinton having a horrible history with women, so that was the closest the GOP has come to women's issues this year. Right? I mean, that's the most we're getting.
Yeah, and this is all fucked up, but guess what? Bill Clinton ain't running for president, dog, so I ain't gonna say I don't care, because I do care, because it's women, but he not running, so...
No, in this, you know what? The reason I'm like, one, I'm surprised all four of them, like, I don't know what the money was like or what, but all four of the women showed up. Come on. That's wild. Just to be used as political theater. Because the reason I'm saying that I'm looking at it that way, because he don't care.
No, right.
It would be different if he was like, because I care so much about these women, I want to make sure that the spotlight is put upon them, because their stories need to be told. Da, da, da.
And my view would be different.
It would be different. But this is like when a school says, your quarterback's a rapist, and you're like, oh, I'm glad they're pointing at that out the other team is a rapist. Now, we're not going to talk about the 5 rape charges that we have at our school, or the fact that we covered up rape the other week, last week, or the fact that we're under lawsuits for several Title IX violations. We're not going to discuss that at our school. We just think it's funny for a football perspective to bring up rape, where it's like, oh, you're not actually, you don't actually care. You right. just think this is a leg up in the mudslinging. You don't think this is an actual issue. You, right. this is not a part of your platform for your campaign. This is only for you to be like, look at these women, ha ha ha.
It's shameful that you even trotted them out there. Like, I mean, my opinion. So it's just one of those things where I do care. Like, right. I care about what happened to them. I care about, you know, all of the things surrounding it. I do care. But when you look at it from the standpoint of cynical, you go, oh, you actually bought them women out there for a dumbass reason, not right. because you care about their issues, not even the fact that you care about what he did, because truth be told, you don't.
Right.
And so that's how I was like, oh, okay, you're playing games. Okay, fuck you.
Yeah, that shit is sad.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. oh, yeah, and also, you know, it was just listening to them go back and forth on certain things and certain issues.
Who's them?
The
Hillary, two candidates?
Right, okay. Hillary yes. and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they talked about the Latino or Mexican descent girl came and asked her question, both of them talk, but it's just one of those things where it's like, neither, depending on what the question is, like you say, they had to spend so much time going at each other, it was something they just did not answer the real
they couldn't
question.
Even get to it. I, right. Like, it was just his whole thing is distraction. It's I don't actually have a plan.
Oh, no.
So I just show up and try to cause chaos. That it like it's doing a disservice to the discourse anyway. Not that it's ever been great in debates, because there's always some measures of cross shots. There's always some measures of deflection and distraction. There's always some of that. But with this shit, it's like you don't even get an answer, because it's just like, well, what would you do about this one? Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't. Hillary made the whole country go to war, and you're like, you don't even know the facts. To vote, one person voting for a war does not, it wasn't like she had the pivotal swing vote. You know, it's the information was based off faulty information from Bush and Cheney and them anyway. Like, there's a lot to it, but then he just, oh no, she was wrong about that, she's wrong about everything. It's just so fucking frustrating.
Yeah, and the people that believe him, it doesn't matter what he say.
That's what I kept coming back to.
So once I realized
the fact that,
I'm
you
like,
see
oh, okay.
when you see this dude up here and you realize he's been doing this for over a year, you realize that they've never really been voting for him.
Nope.
Because there's nothing he does specific to policy that they know of. They've never voted for him. They've only been voting against the status quo, quote unquote, or whatever. Like, that's just how stupid America is. Like, it's like saying, I need my car fixed. Now, I could go to this dude that's a mechanic that went to school and got it. Or I could just bring it up to this dude of the block who's never worked on a car before, but he has worked on a bicycle and he thinks it's about the same. Like, that's kind of what our choices are right now. And it's so ridiculous that essentially half the country hates Hillary, hates women, hates black people, because that's the underscore in all this shit.
Right.
At one point, he even said, like, well, she's just a proxy for Obama. You guys know how bad he is for the country. She's just going to do that. And I was like, oh, niggas. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, just like,
essentially,
just like every time
4 years of Hillary is like getting more niggas in the White House, and you don't want that.
Right. That and the fact that apparently all of the African Americans living in the cities.
Well, he's going to give us economics, so it's
yeah,
going to be okay.
Every time he was talking about the inner cities, I'm assuming he's talking about black. So
he got asked a question about would he be a good president for all of America, but he was asked by a black man who apparently he believes anytime he's asked something about black people, they living in the city. So, you know, not to mention what that says about, you know, one, not all black people are poor.
Right.
You know, so if it's a, you're making the connotation that the inner city equals poverty and all this negative stuff, Well, if that's the connotation that you're trying to make, which is the coded language that they use when they speak inner city, some people have accepted that. Some people understand that the inner city is a lot more complex than that. But the point being, if that is the connotation you're making, that's incorrect as well. Not every black person lives in inner city. Not every black person is in poverty, because that's the next place he always takes it, is starts in the city, then he starts talking about these, how we all need jobs and shit, and it's like, okay, you just think we're some type of fucking charity, right?
Yep, that. And also this, it was even sadder, is it depend on where you are. The inner city is hippie white folks with the Fresh Mark, like they have
Fresh Market.
Fresh Market. You know, they've actually took the inner city and made it white and pushed niggas to the outskirts now.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't think he cares about any of that. He's not saying that, yeah, there's white inner cities. Like, right. You know, people consider Manhattan, you know, it's the center of a city, but it ain't black, mm-hmm. You know? So it's just more of stupid. I can't wait for this shit to be over. Anyway,
y'all see why we don't talk about this that often.
There's been some fallout for Billy Bush. You know, Billy Bush, the man who sat next to Trump while he talked about grabbing him in the pussy. Which, you know, Billy Bush definitely laughs at Trump's nigger jokes too. Don't get it twisted.
He just happened not to say one at the time they've been recorded, but I guarantee you in the past it's been out there.
He for sure do that. Come on out. They probably refer to black women as ebonies. Like, I can see that. I can see that. Anyway.
Like, look up their porn.
Yeah, I can see that. Anyway, Al Roker is stepping in.
Blacks. Hmm? Double X. That's how they.
That's no, that's not a category on porn sites.
The African Americans. Sure?
Yeah, it says ebony. I know. I know my porn sites.
I mean, I know you know
they
your porn sites.
I mean, when they go there, they just go to the ebony section. I know it. They probably talk about black women in real life that way.
Nubians.
She was an ebony. That's what they say.
Oh, she was an ebony.
That Amorosa, you know, she's not a bad ebony. Al Roker steps in to host Suspended Billy Bush's Today Hour.
Yes! I'm glad too. I'd have bought a drink and turned my straw the whole show.
I know. This is, I guess he's going to be stirring it up, you know, stirring up some controversy. As you can see, Billy Bush is not joining us today, Roker said, kicking off the third hour of the show. Billy Bush was named to join just this past May. As you probably are aware, part of the 2005 Access Hollywood taping with Donald Trump, that's been in the news all weekend. He was referring to a conversation caught on tape, you know, when Trump was talking about kissing women with Tic Tacs and grabbing that pussy. NBC, which owns Access Hollywood, has suspended Billy for his role in that conversation pending further review. That said, let's turn to last night's debate where that 2005 tape played a big role. Roker then spoke about his own discomfort as his son watched last night's debate as an 8th grade school assignment, during which Trump's lewd conversation with Bush was front and center. I feel like Al just stewing in it, just like, my child had to see Billy laughing at those jokes.
Which, like I said, I don't have children, so I don't have this issue, but you know, for a lot of children it is probably like their social studies or whatever to you know, cover the debate. So, you know, depending on the age of your child, you know, they're talking about grabbing, you know, women in the pussies and sexual harassment and shit like that, you're gonna have some questions that you might not have planned on answering tonight. You just wanted to eat spaghetti, watch the debate, and go to bed.
Apparently this is when this is what politics is for these kids of this generation. But it's cool, man. Your 8th grader probably look at porn on his phone. I don't know.
Right.
He probably got a Tumblr full of just ass eating. You never know.
Snapchat full of pussy prints.
Mm-hmm. Never know, guys. He said, I felt badly that this is what they had to watch, especially the first 10 or 15 minutes. He called the opening questions and shots between candidates cringeworthy. Hall said she did not think anyone under the age 18 should watch cable news during the election cycle. The press has put Roker firmly into the Billy Bush non-fan list since the Rio Olympics, when the two men got into a spitting match over Bush's interview with Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte, in which the athlete lied to Bush, saying he'd been pulled over and robbed with a gun pointed at his head. He lied, Roker told Billy Bush on Today, when Lochte's story had fallen apart. He lied to you. He lied to Matt Lauer. He lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging with his, well, he skedaddled. There was no robbery. There was no pullover. He lied. Bush defended Lochte, saying he certainly lied about some details, causing Roker to erupt. Yeah, he was stirring that drink, dog.
he was throwing the head out of it. That shit was mixed really well by the time he got finished.
Yep. Bush's suspension first was addressed this morning, 15 minutes into today's broadcast, after a brief show opening debate deconstruction, when Savannah Guthrie said, "We want to note one other thing. Pending further review, NBC News has suspended Billy Bush, the host of today's third hour, for his role in that conversation with Donald Trump."
Yeah, they're not even suspending him for what was said. They suspended him because they got out. Let's just keep that real. It ain't like they didn't know this tape existed.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's no way they couldn't have known.
Right, like, you've had this recording in your possession. It got out to the public, and it was public outrage. So like, we gotta do something. You're suspended. So the content of the conversation was not the problem. Let's just keep that real. He's been suspended because we know.
Oh, I guess it was the final straw.
I guess he did get the last stir.
I don't even think that's a phrase. Last stir. Nope. Karen, what is going on with you? Mm-mm-mm. I guess it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
The straw that broke that glass.
You happy now?
Yes.
You like Trump. Every time I get a turn, you gotta get a turn.
Of course. And I gotta keep interrupting you because I gotta be more aggressive. You know, people email in and write me. I get the emails, y'all. Y'all tell me to be more aggressive and don't let this man come in here telling you what to do, woman.
Well, I guess you're trying to mix it up.
A vote for me is a vote for nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sucks. I got these straw jokes all day, guys. All right, I can do this all day. I'm flexible. Guess you can say I'm bendy. All right. It's time to let it go. but yeah, man. Al Roker got that job, so
I'm glad he did.
I hope he don't give it up. That'd be funny if he just kept the job forever. Billy Bush just.
He'll be my co-host.
Billy Bush is sitting outside the window looking in.
looking like Kermit.
Looking in with a sign.
Looking like Kermit in the rain at the glass.
Oh, man.
All sad and shit.
Oh, man. And you're getting old news. I guess maybe he's a rapper. Prodigy of Mobb Deep. You guys may know him from such hits as Shook Ones and... a bunch of other shit that they used to do over there at Mobb Deep. He now has a prison cookbook. Now,
why make wine in the toilet? What's happening here?
Now, I will say this. This is the most gangster cookbook cover I've ever seen. I mean, he's like he shanked you and then passed you some prison wine.
Ah!
Look at this picture. I'm like, you would let that dude make you some food? I don't know if I want some angry ass food like that, man.
Oh, he tell you how to be somewhat sanitary too?
All right, he like, run your shit, nigga. I'm like, I don't, no sir.
This is how you crumble your oodles and noodles.
I do not want any of your oatmeal pies.
Oh no, cause I'm getting more than oatmeal.
His real name is Albert Johnson. He was released in 2011 after serving 3.5 years in New York State prison for a weapons charge. And he said while locked up, he couldn't get over how nasty the prison food was. So, his family began sending him, 30-pound care packages of green vegetables and other foods. And using just a microwave and a toaster, he started cooking his own meals. Now, he has a new cookbook called Commissary Kitchen, My Infamous Prison Cookbook. With co-author, the veteran music journalist, Kathy Landoli. The book, which drops October 11th, boasts recipes like barbecue salmon over rice and macaroni salad.
Your microwave?
You be microwaving fish or toasting it, putting it in a toaster?
I don't know. You know, I don't know what it smells like. Who knows? It might already smell like ass, so that little fish ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Bossip interviewed him. They said, why did you decide to write the book? My experience of being in jail and cooking, I learned that 2 hours it takes to prepare a meal and eat it and all that. It took our mind off of where we were at for a little while, First of all, cookbook me. It's gonna take 2 hours to make this food.
I mean, nigga, you ain't got no oven. You fucking with a microwave.
But microwaves cook fast, Karen. They cook faster than ovens.
Yeah.
2 hours? That's a long time. What are you cooking in the microwave? It takes 2 hours.
Me,
exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
But I have a good strong microwave. My microwave probably ain't pushing that 50%.
Why do you think prison microwave is cooking 50%? Why would you even think that? What does that have to do with anything?
I'm ignorant. I don't know.
What?
That shit is like 25% of your microwave. Yes, you too. It would take you 2-5 hours.
Karen, you are just
to boil some rice.
So many people tune in to hear an intelligent black woman today. Just letting everybody down.
I'm letting y'all
I was
down.
Rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
How dare you,
yeah,
Karen?
Honey, the way the people don't care, give a shit about the prison system. You're probably going there. It's probably like the same microwave your kid get at from the Play-Doh makeup shop. You know how you go in. It'd be like, you too can make some sherry ice cream. We're like, bitch, no, you can't. You burn yourself. But, yeah, I bet you they probably got microwaves like that.
Mm-hmm. No scientific research done. Nope. At all.
Why should I? This sounds just like the debate. Why I gotta have facts?
Am I gonna have to deal with this the whole show? Cause I didn't come prepared to do a show like this.
You weren't ready?
I'm not Hillary Clinton. I require people to make sense to be on this show. I'm not gonna be able to keep doing this at this rate.
you ain't gonna be able to last.
Mm-mm. I don't have the tools equipped to.
You ain't prepared, my bad.
Mm-mm.
I didn't know that debate was gonna mess me up like that. I'm sorry, y'all.
Alright. Anyway, like I was saying, fuck it. He be making food in jail. Well, I don't care.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. You win.
No.
Nope. I'm done.
I wanna know.
Well, you should have acted like you wanted to know. Next story. That story's done forever.
You have my undivided attention.
No thanks.
I made you quit. My bad for the people that wanted to know how to broil your chicken in the microwave.
October 11th, Get Prodigy's Cookbook. You can find out. Okay. An Australian man recently won an unfair dismissal case after being fired for downloading and watching hardcore porn, including videos of himself on his work issue laptop. That's right. He won the unfair dismissal case. According to Commissioner Ian Cambridge, while the man's behavior was inappropriate, there was no evidence the company, Smarter Insurance Brokers, had any policy in place to specify how work issue computers should be used.
Oh, so they don't have the thing like at my job that pops up every 3 months, a big ass print to be like, hey, we monitor everything, we watch everything, we know what you do, we can go back and trace this, sign here. If you don't, it won't work here. So, it's 2016, they don't have no internet policy.
Maybe it did say we monitor everything, but maybe it didn't say what you couldn't do.
Oh, it was like, we watch, but it didn't say you would get fired from doing some shit.
Maybe not even fired, it might not even say what you can't do. It might not have said don't look at porn and upload videos of yourself jacking off, because they probably thought everyone had the common decency to know not to do that shit. And when you do it, you're gonna get fired. And then they didn't think anyone would have the lack of shame that it would take to be like, well, I'm going to court. Most people would be like, well, I don't want to go to court and tell the world that I jack off in my computer at work and download porn videos of myself
on company time.
So let me just take this L.
I bet you that writing gonna be in there from now on.
Well, apparently, he won the case. The company didn't. They gotta show that, hey, we told you, you can't. Like, who even thinks of that? Like, yeah, make sure you write in the policy, no jacking off and loading videos of you jacking off onto the phone, okay? Onto the computer that we gave you, okay? Make sure you guys do that.
Yeah, because it's amazing, but I don't even, unless it's work related, most of the time I don't even use my company's computer for shit. Most of my things I do on my telephone, because I know they watch and monitor everything. This dude is white, because you know, I don't know no niggas that will be that goddamn comfortable at the job to whip their dick out and jack it off on company time.
Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, he made $10,000 from the lawsuit.
My opinion, they shouldn't have had to fucking pay.
Use a work mobile phone and a laptop. And
oh, the phone, it.
And it also had images and video of him performing sex acts.
Wow.
So there you go.
Bob gonna be the example of fight the man.
Your hero.
You might win.
Not all heroes wear capes, okay, guys?
No, they don't. Some guys heroes fight, jack off.
Fighting for your right to jerk it at work.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of porn at work, somebody apparently used a new Home Depot. They had these Wi-Fi refrigerators.
Okay.
And they used a smart fridge to upload to watch porn on Pornhub.
What does
in the break room?
Okay, I don't understand. I don't know nothing about no Wi-Fi fridge. So the fridge got TV on it?
Fridge got a TV on it, yeah.
Oh!
It has a screen. I mean, I don't know if it's a TV, but...
Oh, okay. I'm about to say...
It's a smart TV. It's a smart for refrigerator.
Oh, okay. So you can basically remotely... You can just turn on your fridge and watch cable and shit like that. And it was like, hey, I could do porn too?
Yeah, apparently you can put porn on it, yeah. As well. If you had the right amount of... technology and education.
Who thinks of this?
I'll tell you who thinks of this, Karen.
I'm looking for an hourly wage. I went to high school, didn't do great.
Yeah.
But I gotta make more cash. More education is what I'm looking at. When I get a degree, I will make a bigger salary. So now I've got to see which college is right for me. I went on the internet.
Connection.
I took some free tests to find out my direction. I'm taking my classes online, getting my degree on my own time. Education Connection matched me with the right college for free.
Get connected.
For free. Free. With Education
Connection. Get connected. For free. With Education Connection.
That's my jam right there.
That's what, if you would have went to that school, you'll know how to hook up porn to a Wi-Fi fridge, Karen. Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult.
I'm sorry. I don't know nothing about that. That's like last time we went to go, went to washer and dryer. Hunt, one of them broke down, went in there, and the fucking buttons were like my, iPhone buttons. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, apparently someone took a picture of it on their Twitter and put it out, but it was Pornhub right there on one of the
in the break room,
one of the display fridges or whatever. So
look like they, you Best Buy, you got the Geek Squad, the
Home Depot.
Oh, okay, Home Depot. I thought you said Best Buy, but even with that, don't you got a tech squad? Ain't somebody in the small that block this shit? Don't you got an IT support team?
I don't know.
Well, you need to get one.
Yeah. From the supermarket checkout to the skies, JetBlue is training pilots without any flying experience.
Oh shit, now they planes about to crash.
Somebody's gonna be hopping on a plane for the first time in 3 days. Hopefully we won't be flying JetBlue. Maybe it's like anything else, you know, we consider it to be such a highfalutin job, but really you don't need that much education, you know. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I don't want to fuck around and press the wrong button and I don't make it back.
It takes 4 years to do it, by the way.
That makes sense.
1,480 people have applied. The number was whittled down through interviews and assessments to 6. So it's only going to be 6 pilots out of all the pilots that, you know, have basically decided to just go without going to school, just kind of go and train for 4 years and learn how to fly. The majority have never flown before, but one had up to 100 hours of flight time. So there you go.
Now that makes sense. I mean, not trying to be funny. I mean, I want you at least have some flight time.
One had 100 hours. One of the 6.
Oh, so the rest of them is 0. Like I ain't never been off the ground as far as me driving the plane.
Mm-hmm. They started their training with a 3-week course learning the fundamentals of aviation, including meteorology and aerodynamics. Trainees will then complete further training and additional FAA licensing requirements. The final step will see the students attend an instructor course to achieve their certified flight instructor CFI qualifications and ratings. Upon completion, trainees will then begin working in entry-level salaried instructors for CAE Flight Academy while accumulating the 1,500 flight hours needed to start flying commercially. Once meeting the FAA and Gateway Select requirements, pilots will become a new hire at JetBlue, where they complete the same orientation and 6-week instructions that all first officers complete. So it sounds like it takes a long ass time. Like, it's not like you actually you weren't like working at Publix and then now you flying a plane.
Okay, like, it was like, look, we can get you there, but your route gonna be longer than everybody else's.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this. Now, I mean, that, it's just on the job training, basically.
That makes sense.
You know, it's going to be more pressure on them than actual pilots that went to school, because it's going to be like, yeah, you went to flight school, so we think you got everything handled. These motherfuckers, you know, if a plane show up 15 minutes late, they're going to be like, fired. We knew this would happen, taking a chance on you.
Right.
But yeah, I have no problem with that. So we'll see what happens. Let's see, Birth of a Nation, Birth of a Nation came out.
Mm-hmm.
It made $7 million.
Okay.
Some people are calling that a flop. Okay. I don't technically know if it's a flop or not. I don't know what the expectations were.
Me either.
And I don't know what the fuck, like, if this means it will make its money back, if it means it won't, what the budget was, how much money it really would need to make his money back, if they're just counting the $17 million that the studio spent to acquire the film or what. I don't know any of this shit, and you know, but people are, you know, saying it's flop, right? So this woman who goes by Feathers on medium.com, on Twitter she goes by In the Ninth House, and she's the woman who took exception to my black men or the white people, you know, mm-hmm. Like, and well, that other day when I got another round of just ashy ass niggas,
like, it just resurfaces for some reason.
It was because of her thread about how she hates feminism and gay people. Okay. And shit. At any rate, she wrote a piece on the Medium called Birth of a Nation's Box Office Flop and the Unrepentant Pettiness of Black Feminist. And it's so like incoherent and hypocritical, and like, you know those people that are like incapable of forming a complete thought, so they form like 57 not complete thoughts? That's what it was.
And try to weave them together, but actually don't do a good job of connecting them.
Yeah, and like people that they can't explain why something is bad, but then they use it pejoratively. So it's like calling somebody a feminist pejoratively. Like, you of damn feminist. It's like, okay,
like, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah,
right?
you know, it's like when people go social justice warriors, like, okay.
Yeah,
you know. And then it's sad seeing it come from a black woman, because, you know, I mean while patriarchy affects everybody, and it don't, gender ain't never been a requirement for what kind of stupid you can be,
come on,
it's still kind of sad, because black women were gonna get blamed for this movie failing.
Yes, they were.
When, honestly, if black men so powerful, why didn't you just do it by yourself? Why ain't the movie just, I mean, a lot of y'all must have talked a good game and not went to see it.
Yes, sir.
For the ashy crowd, because if y'all would have all went to see the movie, we wouldn't be sitting here.
That's one thing about ashy niggas. They always complain but don't support shit. They just complain. Right.
And Nate Parker got off light, in my opinion. If we're being honest, no one even organized against him.
Nope.
It could have been worse. There's not, can you name one prominent black female can you name one prominent black celebrity of any gender orientation, whatever, that came out and said, I'm not gonna see this movie and you shouldn't either?
Nope.
I can't name one. Every single person was either, I'm gonna see it and it's bigger than us, da 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 da, or they were non-committal on some like, well, I'm not gonna see it, but I'm not telling anybody else what to do. But
no one, crickets.
Or they said nothing. Obviously, right. Or there was the black people need to see this film. It's important. Da 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 da. Which is mostly from black men celebrities, but still,
mm-hmm.
The point being, where y'all at? $7 million, it could have made more if y'all really was about it like that. Y'all weren't about it like that. This is just an excuse to blame black women for some shit.
Right, just an excuse to fight somebody.
Yeah, it's just you knew the film would do bad and then you wanted to hop online and find a way to blame black women for the film doing bad. As if he had nothing to do with his own film having horrible publicity. Black women gave him so many chances.
Come on.
So many, these outlets that interviewed him, these weren't gotcha questions. They weren't setups. These were all opportunities for him to knock it out the park and be like, well, here's what I've learned and here's what I'm gonna do better. Every last time. And instead, it's, why y'all even bringing it up? Are you fucking serious? You know what I mean? Like, it's just real sad. But yeah, she wrote this piece. It's Sunday, October 9th, 2016, yep. 7:02 p.m.
Okay, yes, so yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She need to let y'all know. And I just want to start this by saying that at this point, I'm over social media and I'm over cyber mafia known as black feminism. Mm-hmm. She over social media, y'all, when she posted this on Twitter. I'm to the point where if I ever see another black woman with feminist in her bio, I assume that she's petty and that I should not associate with her publicly or privately. So y'all better take it out y'all bio if y'all want to be friends with In the Knife House.
I might add it to mine then.
She's Ash adjacent, y'all. Get something on you. If you haven't seen slash read the news already, Birth of a Nation has flopped in the box office and we have black feminism, which is just fancy cyber vernacular for I hate black men because I always choose the wrong types of black men to entertain and their male minions to thank. So apparently this is about black women just not picking the right men, y'all. If black feminists would just pick the right men, then they would know to support this rapist. Duh. Obviously, y'all ain't got the right man in your life, ladies.
What about black feminists that aren't into men?
There is no such thing. I told you she don't respect LGBT people. She don't respect any of that. She don't respect any of that. No, she'll get into that in a second. She don't respect any of that.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty unfortunate. Say, as a woman, especially in the world we live in where there is much negative stigma attached to being a black woman myself. When I first was introduced to black feminism as a teenager and through social media, I was expecting sisterhood. I'm not sure what kind, but that's what I was expecting. To my disappointment, black feminism was mostly a degree toting, pun intended, shea butter product selling, cis hetero black men loathing, gay black men loving, promiscuity endorsing, white man dating, shade throwing, mention mob and mafia that occasionally makes great points concerning the mistreatment and the overall conditions of black women that they refer to as massage noir. If I hadn't have witnessed this for years prior, I just may have been on Nate Parker hate bandwagon, but I did, so I'm not, and no, this is not saying he's not guilty. Right. She's saying, hey, he probably raped those women, that woman. We just need to support him. He black. That's what's important, y'all. And if y'all black women feminists would just understand how important this film is. There's no other way to learn about Nat Turner. It's impossible. I've tried.
So the same stereotypes that you sound like you don't want thrown on you, you basically thrown all those same stereotypes on the subsection of women.
I'm not saying what she is or is not doing, okay? I'm just reading. Anyhow, let's rewind back to when this drama kicked off. I remember early August of this year, scrolling down my Facebook feed, seeing many clickbait style viral articles about Nate Parker having a white wife from black catered gossip bloggers and sites. For the record, this happened just recently with the dude who plays Mike Coulter. It don't even be black women starting this.
Nope.
Like,
they don't care.
In both cases, it'd be like some nigga that notices and then says black women won't like this. To which mostly black women are like, what? You know what I mean? Like, okay. Is he saying something problematic? Is he doing something fucked up? No? Okay. He has a white wife. It's actually not very rare as far as like, as a phenomenon in society, see, interracial relationship. And it's also not, gonna change my life. I didn't think I was gonna date Nate Parker. Like, that wasn't a thing.
Right.
It was like, until then, I thought he was okay.
you know, and you just using that as an excuse because your ashy ass got married to a white woman, and in return you tell black women how they ain't shit, so they come at you like, bitch what? And then you go, well, y'all the problem.
Right. This is very much choose me Twitter.
Right.
Side note, if we are to celebrate any heterosexual black man's success on social media, he must be CB4 blackity black, but not so much he's considered hotep. He must also be married to a black woman, even if you posted on social media about getting a Caucasian John when Jerome doesn't work out to avoid stress, poverty, and headache. He must also be a simp, a male feminist, and proud supporter of black transgendered women, encourage prostitution, now formerly known as sex work, and move to the beat of the perverse black feminist drum. So that's the only way they're gonna support a black man. He gotta be all those things, y'all. If he not, then he gonna get in trouble. Also, apparently all black feminists are dating white men. I didn't know this. Yeah. I didn't know this, but this is new to me.
Apparently you must be all white of them. I don't know.
By golly gee, I guess I must be.
I guess you are, sir.
Examples of
shocker to me.
Oh, that sounds like you calling yourself a feminist. I don't know what's going on here. Examples of the article aforementioned. Article number one, Twitter just found out Nate Parker has a white wife and questioned his wokeness. This is on Bossip. Twitter just found out Nate Parker has a white wife and now questions his wokeness. You know, gotta cite that. Article highlights Nate Parker gained a gazillion black points when he set out to create Rebel Slave, Nat Turner's biopic, A Birth of a Nation, but now Twitter's finding out he has a white wife. He is losing those points. Side note, wait, who wrote this? Was it Hip Hop Obama? Don't say, just Bossip staff. They always put Bossip staff on the ones where they like, don't come in my mentions.
And it was like, I don't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't sleep, Bossip. You think I don't know y'all tricks? I've been reading y'all my whole life. Side note, another side note, damn, the fact that this article was published at 1:39 a.m. is just petty within itself. Anyhow, why are they calling Bossip a black feminist website though? Do you read Bossip?
No, she don't. She
ain't can't. No ideology on Bossip, dog. Bossip just say what Bossip say. I can't even believe she's,
and you just go with the flow.
And then she quoted some people on Twitter that had problems with him having a white wife. Here's the thing that I always like to point out, for and against. This is all different kinds of articles. Did this during the Olympics when people were talking about, they coming for Gabby Douglas's hair. I'm not even going to tell you what the comment said, but 10 retweets.
Because that matters.
6 retweets. 15 retweets. And 11 retweets.
Because we know, I've been on Twitter long enough to know if something is trending or people are really talking about it, you will fuck around and get thousands of retweets.
If people agree with your shit, it's going to be more than fucking 6 retweets. It's going to be more than 20 retweets. It's going to be a whole, like, I have shit that has thousands and thousands and thousands of retweets. Thousands.
And every now and then you see it pop up. 2 years later, you're like, well, damn, they still retweet that?
Yeah, I'm not even saying, just in general, you have right. Thousands. When something is hot and people agree with it, it's not 6. And but this happens in all kinds of articles. This isn't just right. This article. Mm-hmm. A lot of articles do this. They start with a faulty headline, like, look how upset white people are over so-and-so. And then you look at the tweets, 4 retweets, 5 favorites, 6 retweets, 3 favorites.
Right.
You know.
And then if you click on the person, you're like, you don't 4 follow followers. Nobody, don't nobody follow you.
Yeah. Side note, social media has another side note. Jesus, woman. All right. This tweet points out an interesting flip from a tweeter where she found out he was married to a white woman. At first, he was girl fine and then not so much. Side note.
Fine. What are we talking about here?
This is what she's saying the person said.
My bad.
Side note, social media has single-handedly become the reason I rarely take compliments serious anymore.
That sounds personal.
Yeah, I don't know. For more tweets, just click here on the official Twitter search. So she has a link to the Twitter search, Nate Parker white wife, Nate Parker's wife is white and he said he doesn't want to play any gay roles that make the sisters lose it. 49 retweets. So people that are saying things to diss black women, those are getting retweets apparently. So if you say it to be like, these sisters hate him, retweet 50 times. But, the one she claims have all these retweets, I'm telling you, that one has the most retweets. Nothing else even, these other things don't have one. okay, all right. Anyway, fast forward, after slew of gossip sites published the information about his wife being white, about 10 days later the cyber attack then moved up to Black Feminist Academia, who write for mainstream media publications such as The Atlantic, Teen Vogue, HuffPost, Time, who they beg for inclusion, by the way, and others. And the next thing you know, the accusations of homophobia were birthed, and information as well as legal documentation about his former rape case came up. Side note, this is what bored Black women on the internet who don't like you do, by the way. Here's the thing. If you hadn't been homophobic or been in a rape situation, you, I mean, then what? Then okay, all right, cool, got you, got it. They just found it because everybody got them sitting out there, and if they get bored, they just go find that time that you know were on trial for rape. Everybody got it. I mean, shit, you know what I mean? Raise your hand if you the one that don't got the rape case in your past and the homophobia in the interview in your past. Just raise your hand if you just oh, see, nobody got their hand up. We're all the same. They can find your address, who's your baby father, great grandfather, and what plantation he was on, validate your college degrees, find out how many evictions you have, your previous jail mug shots, paid $19.99 for access to your private records. Well, I guess she must know her way around to know all that. I don't. Anyway, after the Black Girl Goodfellas, aka Black Feminist, oh, this is that other thing where people go, it's the mafia. They always compare, like, that's her, the PC mafia way of, oh, the PC mafia, they gonna get you. It's coming after you. It's like, no, the real mafia is way scarier than what you're talking about.
A whole lot more scarier.
They added more gasoline to the fire, upset that their girl, he's so fine contender, was married to Becky with the good hair, and apparently saying some questionable things about their gay men that they love more than themselves. White journalists had begun to surf the heat wave, which gave them 100 times more credibility because of the reputation of these larger platforms, also because they're white platforms, and as you should know, white people are always more credible. Side note, that was sarcasm, she says. Yeah, the other thing that I find interesting about this joint is the hatred for gay people, man. It's real. Like, they have, like, it's, you know, it's like they, like I said, man, that privilege shit is so real because people, you know, people that are straight, cishet, whatever, they have that privilege of being able to say, I'm not going to experience these things, so I can say we shouldn't care about these people. Now, they're Black too, and your Black solidarity pyramid, you put them on the bottom. You don't put, it's not equality, you know what I mean? It's not all, we're not all equal. And then when something is fucked up, you blame them, and it's the same thing. She's just doing it against Black women, and she's a Black woman. She just hate herself and hate other Black women. That's all, you know. It happens all the time where it's like, you Black women, y'all the problem. If they the problem with this movie, then how the fuck didn't all the strong Black people that you talk about, why didn't they organize and fix it? Why don't they go have a rally and go get this man his money, right? It's so, for the Black solidarity, you know what I mean? Go see the movie. Go, everybody go see it. There you go. Because nobody even organized against this. There was no boycott. There was no, you know what I mean? It's like one person. It was like one group that protested the theater. If Black women really wanted to get information on this shit.
Oh, you wouldn't have went to no theater without seeing somebody protesting.
If they really wanted to be like, let's shut this shit down, they could have. Mm-hmm. They could have. It really, people were just like, nah, not going to. But at any rate, man, Black women are petty for not supporting a rapist, and y'all should understand that y'all really should grow up. And she's not petty at all.
People
for
that are actually victims of rape by
police. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, stop being petty, holding it against people. And she's not petty at all, because y'all all date white women and
white men,
I'm sorry, and you care more about gay people than yourselves, of course. And you know, you're all the worst. But she's not petty at all. She's not, you know, she hasn't been upset at all by black feminists. This is just her giving the facts, guys, okay?
So,
yeah, she's terrible. I'm glad I blocked her. I was like, who the fuck wrote, why can't I see whoever tweeted this? Oh, it was that Ash Ankh motherfucker. Cool. Peace. You know what I mean? Like, peace out. Anytime somebody starts ranting about how they don't like the connotation that Hotep has right now, I immediately write them off, because nobody made it that way except for niggas claiming they are Hoteps and talking fucked up. You gotta clean your own shit up then, dog. That's how it works. You know, it's like how if people was walking around like, I'm with the black guy with tips and I hate gay people and I hate stupid people, I'd be like, we don't fuck with that person. They're not the black guy with tips. Fuck that person. That's not what our show represents, blah blah blah. That would be my thing, to go up there and clean that shit up. You can't be like, it's 1,000 niggas that claim they just as, I'm Hotep down to the flow tip, and then be like, and I hate gay people and women. That's not what it means, guys. It means, well, that's what they using it as. And for most people, practical application takes over definitions in their vocabulary. That's just what happens. At any rate, next, move on to some other news. I know. Knife wielding clowns have been spotted in Manhattan and Queens.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there slicing it up?
I guess. A 30-year-old Queens man told police that he was threatened by a 6-foot-tall clown.
What a tall Queens clown.
And the made-up maniac giggled to himself as he held a steak knife in his hand, beckoning his victim to step out of his home, the victim said. I have a love-hate relationship with clowns, now even more so, said Ionis Markinsinis, of the Creepy Exchange, at his 78th Street home near 19th Road. Damn, they just put this whole, clown's gonna be back. Markinsinis said he was preparing to go to bed just for midnight when he saw the jarring gesture outside his home. I usually look outside my living room window to check out what's going on. I see this figure. I didn't think nothing of it. But then I started looking closely. He starts waving at me and moves towards me. That's when I saw the white makeup, red hair, and red nose. He was telling me to come outside, but he wasn't talking at all. Things got even creepier when the Pennsylvania perp pulled out his steak knife. He started giggling and laughing and dancing around. Terrified, Markinsinis pulled down the shades. The clown ran off down the street, never getting more than 5 feet from his victim. I thought all of this stuff about the clowns you see on TV and the papers were some sick joke, but now I'm thinking maybe this is for real, said Markinsinis, who owns a construction company. At first you think clowns, ha ha ha, laugh laugh, but once he takes out a steak knife, you know it's real. He reported the incident to police. He was also the only one in the neighborhood to report a sighting, he was told. I wish I had my phone with me. I would have taken a picture. This is the second clown threat investigated by the NYPD this week. Another man dressed as a clown threatened a 16-year-old boy with a knife during a not very funny exchange on the Upper East Side train station Wednesday. The teen told police he took an Uptown No. 6 train from Astor Place and was trying to exit at 96th Street, and he noticed the fool in clown makeup, clothes, and oversized shoes blocking the train door and refusing to let people out. When the teen pushed past the jesting jerk to get out the train, the clown followed him. The teen made it up the station mezzanine level and was headed out the street when he turned around and saw the clown pull what appeared to be a kitchen knife out of his right pocket as he stood by the turnstiles. The panicked adolescent ran out of the station to a nearby Metropolitan Hospital center, where he notified police about what happened. The clown didn't pursue the teen and remains at large on Thursday. The masquerading menace never said anything to the teen, according to officials, no arrest have been made in either case. Shit. If the clowns are arrested, they could face menacing charges. That's it? I hope that's a felony or something. Pulling out knives on people? So yeah, there you go. Just continues the clown trend as these clowns continue to, you know, attack us.
What we most
feel comfortable, man, in our own homes, on the train, you know, you just trying to get home, and here they show up with knives and shit. It's escalating. All right, let's do some fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around different articles and we leave our feedback from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 and score them on how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants is everybody. All right, guys. Sorry, I got distracted. I was just thinking, where the fuck would Clown Lives Matter during this shit?
They weren't doing their job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Clown Lives Matter wasn't showing up to talk about these fucking out of control clowns threatening our peoples, our children.
Come on.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in the news. She called the national anthem protest dumb and disrespectful. You may know her as Supreme Court feminist white woman who apparently does not like the Kaepernick shit. She did say she wouldn't have him arrested or anything like that. She's not saying it's violating the law, but she finds it dumb and disrespectful. She said, I had the same answer if you asked me about flag burning. I think it's a terrible thing to do, but I wouldn't lock a person up for doing it. I would point out how ridiculous it seems to me to do such an act. She says, if they want to be stupid, there's no law that should be preventative. If they want to be arrogant, there's no law that prevents them from that. What I would do is strongly take issue with the point of view that they are expressing when they do that. Yep. She also said she didn't like Donald Trump. But anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh,
100 for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, because these are the type of liberals that black people don't fuck with.
Right.
And a lot of times they are the most vocal, as you can see, you know, because the liberals that are actually about that business, ain't trying to offend, really out here grinding, trying to help, they're not the ones coming out and saying shit like this. Like, those liberals aren't. But the liberals that's actually a borderline, they don't quite get it. They get mm-hmm. some things, but they don't get other things. The shit that they don't get because they write privilege, they feel like they should speak on.
Right.
You know, you're like, nah, dog, what you're saying is very, very ignorant. It's like, are you even doing any research and trying to figure out why? And that's the thing about privilege. Privilege ain't got to figure out why. Privilege goes, fuck whatever y'all doing. I feel like I am the authority of this, regardless of if I've lived this, if I've experienced this, if it's in my everyday life. I don't care what you're doing. I've stepped into the room and everything that you need to do is about me, because she basically made it about her. Don't nobody give a fuck about what she thinks, because this does not directly affect her.
Yeah, 100. I'm with you. Hey, you think all those people writing articles about why Birth of a Nation flopped, think they wrote anything about Southside with you? Well, mm-mm. When that did? No.
No.
You think they wrote something for Queen of Conway?
Nope. And that was an excellent movie.
Then they gonna tell everybody to go see Hidden Figures?
Nope.
Anyway.
These are other black movies too. You know, people act like that's the only black movie that's come out. I mean, come on, we went to go see that movie with Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Did I tear that word up?
Lupita Nyong'o?
Yeah, thank you. Lupita
Nyong'o. Okay.
I tore that up, y'all.
That is a new one to me. Anyway, go ahead.
The movie with Lupita was actually really good and really excellent. And that movie was blackity black.
Yeah, it's Queen of Conway. The thing is, I'm not even questioning the quality of the movie, any of that shit. We saw it, we reviewed it. My question is, where are your think pieces? Whether black people ain't see this, black feminism is the problem. Where's that at? I just want to know. You know, I think I'm asking valid questions. I don't know why people can't answer my questions. I just want to know. Southside, which you made $6.259 million, okay? Now, that movie came out in August. That's all the money it's made for the year.
Wow.
Right. Nate Parker's movie made $7 million in a weekend. Where the fuck are your think pieces? Where are the black people are the problem with this? Where's the why the fuck aren't black feminists supporting it? Nobody's saying that. Where the Ashy dollars at? Where them dollars at?
Ashies don't spend dollars because they dollars is dry like they skin. It's all dried up.
I just want to know, because it seemed like people having, you know, some problem. Queen of Cotway has made $3.1 million. You blaming black feminists for that?
That was a good movie.
The Nate Parker maybe made more than both of these movies. What the fuck are y'all mad about? Idiots. Anyway, speaking of not making money, blackish stars earn a fraction of what's given to stars of less watched shows.
I believe that.
Variety put together top television stars earned, and a few stats stand out. While stars of The Big Bang Theory, now in its 10th season, make $1 million an episode, Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross, who in the Emmy-nominated Blackish, just make just a fraction of that. Not only does the show pull in strong ratings, but both Anderson and Ross have garnered critical acclaim for their work. Tracy Ellis Ross earned her first Emmy nomination for lead actress in a comedy since 1986 for her role as Rainbow Johnson on Blackish. She earns $80,000 an episode. Ross was far from an unknown before she got the gig. She starred in 8 seasons of the hit comedy Girlfriends. Anderson makes $100,000. The salaries are not simply reflections of the revenue the stars in the shows bring to the network. Tufoyel Ahmed of Newsweek notes that other ABC sitcoms like Tim Allen of The Last Man Standing makes $250,000, while the show brings in about half the ratings of Blackish. Black women in drama seem to fare better. Taraji P. Henson earns $175,000 for work on Empire, while Viola Davis and Kerry Washington make $250,000 each. So, yep. Black people making less. Although I would like to know what the comparative shows in drama would be as well, though. You know, obviously. But, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, yeah, that's 100. That's not shocking, you know, because just one of those things where, a lot of times people, we've done this with movie stars and all that stuff in this realm, people don't share what they make, and they, just like you at your normal job, they purposely and strategically don't want you to share, because most people will find out that they're underpaid, or you will find out that somebody's overpaid doing a fraction of the shit you do and making a whole hell of a lot more money.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, what do you do with this knowledge? I know that TV contracts typically last for a minute, so you can't just be like, oh, and now I want to get paid more. Like, it don't work that way.
But if it's time for renewal, they're gonna have to pay them.
Yeah, they will eventually have to pay them, but I'm just saying, it's not like, you may have to wait 5-6 years sometimes to get a new contract, unless you hold out or something. Yeah, all right, let's get into some other stuff. Let's see what we got here. How about I don't even know if white people like that song. All right, here we go. How about this one? right. Daring Amy Adams risk wardrobe malfunction as she goes braless in the risque slash gown at Arrival BFI premiere in London. That's right, y'all. Braless.
Apparently that's the thing to walk out with your titties hanging.
Look, you gotta take chances sometimes, Karen. This is brave, okay? This is true bravery.
Shit, if I could, I would too. Fuck a bra.
Well, you can. I mean, nobody's stopping you.
You right.
She seldom puts a sartorial foot wrong. And Amy Adams yet again pulled her sensational style out of a bag as she opted for greasy and glamour while joining the co-star Jeremy Renner at the London premiere of Arrival at the British Film Festival on Monday night. The 42-year-old drop dead gorgeous star not only wowed in the style stakes, but what style stakes in the style stakes, but also turned heads due to her option to shun a bra for the evening, giving a flash of her perky cleavage while narrowly avoiding a wardrobe malfunction. As you guys can see, titties was out. It was the girls was out there on fleet. Amy, who plays Dr. Louise Banks in the science fiction movie, was a vision in her white gown, which boasted a toga style top and a gaping front. The elaborate Bordeaux neckline was complicated when paired with a scarf detail across the neck, all of which drew attention to the perilously plunging front.
Oh Lord, you got a picture.
Oh, it's not showing y'all? Mm-mm. I definitely thought it to share it with y'all. Let me see here. Let me try it again. Share. Nothing? Did it show it this time?
Nah, sometimes it's delayed sometimes for you.
All right. There it is, right? That's not it?
I see it now.
All right, cool. All right, so back to these titties.
Duh.
While her cleavage was undoubtedly the turning point of the outfit, the billowing gown also nipped at her tiny waist, honed no doubt through hours in the gym.
I like that white. That's pretty with that sieve at the bottom of the butterflies. That's a pretty dress.
Well, she's daring a nip slip with that, with the way it's cut low, though. I mean, titties almost all the way out there, Karen. Ensuring the dress screened red carpet glamour, the skirt was laden with layers, which blew in the October breeze descending on the Capitol. Look, that's her getting out the car. Titties percolating. She's 42 years old too. I see Amy. I see what Superman was looking at. You know what I'm saying? You know that X-ray vision. Come on now, grab her by the pussy.
No.
Okay. All right. Too far. Sorry, Billy. Darius Campbell and his ex-wife Natasha Henstridge look closer than ever as they enjoy theater day in London. Breaking white news here. Definitely need to get into this. They first set the rumor mill in the overdrive about a possible reunion in August when they were spotted sharing a kiss. I'm not talking Hershey kisses, guys. Talking lip on lip action. And now Darius Campbell, 36, has confirmed to Mail Online that he has reunited with his estranged wife, Natasha Henstridge, saying, "We are very happy together."
I have no idea who these people are.
The white people. A representative for the couple also said after a period of separation, the couple are still legally married as they didn't file the final paperwork necessary to complete divorce proceedings. There will be no further comment at this time. The former pop idol star, who was previously linked with Strictly's Daisy Lowe, feel like a Pootie Tang character name. Is that all her name? Strictly's Daisy Lowe? Looked very happy as he accompanied Natasha from the Savoy Theater. Putting on a sweet show of affection, Darius looked dapper in his mismatched gray suit as he linked arms with his ex-love in London. The stage star completed his stylish look with a black shirt unbuttoned to flaunt some of his manly chest and leather brogues while he wrapped his arm around Natasha's waist. Looking closer than ever, Canadian Natasha flaunted her enviable curves in a plunging black knee grazing dress as she layered a waterfall cardigan over her demure look.
Not the waterfall.
Don't go chasing them. The blonde beauty left her tresses loose as she cuddled up beside Darius, placing her arm around his back. Holding on tight to his bicep, Natasha clutched onto her pink phone as they strolled down the street smiling. They appeared to be in good spirits as they smiled for waiting cameras together before continuing their night together. Well, there you go, Karen. They back. I know I was worried. Our long national nightmare is over.
Apparently.
Darius Campbell and Natasha Henstridge back together, y'all. Come on, be excited.
For those of you that were concerned.
Yeah, y'all try to pretend like y'all too good for this, but y'all know y'all excited about this. Come on. Let's see. Let's get into Guess the Race, okay? All right, Supergirl's coming on a little bit, and we can't be fucking around tonight. All right, guys, I'm sorry, but y'all knew this was going to happen. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants, this time Karen in the chat room, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and y'all are racist. All right, let's get into it. Don't forget, Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel's the first only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. They will send you a starter kit, okay, because I say a neck is a terrible thing to waste. Go get you this starter kit. Comes with a safety razor in case you're like, I've never shaved with a straight razor, with a razor before like this. Cool, they got you. It comes with shaving brush, blades, priming oil, shaving cream, and Cool Restoring Balm. I remember when I used to have to shave all my stuff on my own, I would go to the store and I'd be like, oh, I'm out of aftershave. Oh, I'm out of this. I'm out of that. And you have to get it individually, and it's like 17 different trips to the store all the time.
And they lock behind the case.
Right. Now you just get all your shit at the same time every month in a box. There you go. Or not even every month, about every 3 months they just re-up you for 3 months worth of stuff. And if you ever want to pause shipping, you can just go to the website, log in and say, hey, don't ship me anything for the next shipment, you know. So there you go. Maybe you don't shave every day, maybe shave every other day. There you go. All right, so getbevel.com, code TBGWT. A sex addict teacher who asked a girl, 13, to send topless photos and had child porn on his computer has been spared jail. We wouldn't want to inconvenience his life, Karen. The sex addict teacher who asked a 13-year-old to send a topless photo and was caught with child pornography on his computer has been spared jail. James Love, 32, was head of biology. Oh, I bet he was. At Lutterworth College in Leicestershire.
He knew her makeup.
Mm-hmm. Leicestershire? Anyway, where he tried to obtain sexy pictures from a girl he met on the internet. That conversation was discovered when police examined his computer following his arrest last year for possessing child porn. None of the children involved in the online chats or in the images were pupils at the college, either past or present. Luff from Montessori was given a 12-month jail sentence, suspended for 2 years in order to undergo a sex offender rehabilitation program. Now, suspended sentence means you ain't got to go. If you just do whatever they tell you to do, this rehab thing, you can go to that instead. Let me switch over sessions real quick.
Okay.
We'll keep it going real quick. Just give me a second to switch over for you guys. Here, while we do this, why don't y'all listen to this clip?
I don't think you've changed a thing. Go on, jump.
No, I don't want to jump.
Yes, you do. You smoke crack, don't you? You smoke crack, don't you? Look at me, boy. Don't you smoke crack?
Yes, sir.
You know what that does to you? Huh?
No, sir.
It kills your brain cells, son. It kills your brain cells. Now, when you're destroying your brain cells, you're doing the same thing as killing yourself. You're just doing it slower. Now, I say if you want to kill yourself, don't fuck around with it. Go on and do it expeditiously. Now, go on and jump. Jump.
No, I don't want to kill myself, sir.
All right. So he's 32 years old. He's head of biology. He wanted sexy pictures from a girl he met on the internet. Conversation was discovered when police examined his computer following his arrest last year for possession of child porn. None of the children involved in the online chats or in the images of pupils at the college, either past or present. He was given a 12-month sentence and told to undergo sex offender rehabilitation. He admitted to downloading 79 indecent images of children in the category A, the most serious range, 59 in category B, and 417 in category C between September 2007 and June 2014.
So they got categories?
Apparently, in this country, yeah. Love, who lost his career and now works in the supermarket, also pleaded guilty to possessing 128 extreme pornographic images, attempting to incite a child under 16 to engage in sexual activity between March and May 2014. Victoria Rose, prosecuting a search warrant, was conducted at the defendant's home April 2nd, 2015, and he told officers he had an old computer in the attic, which was seized and examined. Ms. Rose said that as well as illegal images downloaded from the internet, there was evidence of Skype and social media activity with exchanges between the defendant and school children. There were conversations about school exams and homework, but the conversations went further with one 13-year-old. They exchanged pictures of themselves clothed before the defendant inquired, "Have you ever taken sexy pictures of yourself?" He asked for more revealing pictures in her underwear, bikini, and topless, but none were sent, and the child concern was never located or identified. He probably lucked out with that. Sentencing Luff at Leicester Crown Court, Judge Nicholas.
You got some parent that don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The baby got scared.
Right. Maybe it was another. What if it was just two pedophiles? You show your dick. No, you show your dick. Hold on, I'll be right back. Damn, figured me out. He said there was no suggestion that the defendant engaged in sexual activity with children, and he has voluntarily sought help for his addiction following his arrest. Oh, well, okay, well, shit, then put him back on the street. Can you do that with other crimes? Look, man, I know I robbed that bank, but I admit that was a problem, and I have sought help against robbing since then.
Can so, I just take a class?
I would love to just take a class on how not to rob people, and then maybe we could just kind of, you know, suspend my sentence, as long as I don't rob anybody else.
I'm good, right?
The judge added, "You lost your career. That in and of itself is a significant punishment. And no doubt the rest of your adult life, you'll be haunted by these convictions. I'm confident you won't offend again." Lisa Hancock's mitigating. Hancock's, that's what got him in trouble in the first place.
His hand on his cock.
Said Love had contacted the Lucy Faithful Foundation, a charity dedicated to preventing child sexual abuse, which works with adult male and female sexual abusers, and went on its stop it course. That's the name of the course.
Stop it.
To make sure you don't do it again.
What are they doing?
Is it just they come slap your hands? Stop it.
No, like you do a dog popping on the nose with a newspaper.
Here's a phone. What you about to do? Look up some child porn? Stop. Oh, damn. Y'all got me. I'm cured. He made efforts to rectify his own behavior. His family has stood by him. His parents attend court. Luff was made the subject of a sexual harm prevention order, and his address will be on sex offenders registry, both for 10 years. Karen, guess the race of Mr. James Luff.
White.
Karen is going with white. All right, let's see what you guys say in the chat room. Did you already ask?
Mm-hmm. I have to scroll up a little bit.
Okay, you must ask a long time. Oh, Professor Oak White wanted to teach her anatomy at white. When the privilege is this strong, the pedo got hit to be white. Went to the Anthony Weiner School of Law on the subway scholarship white. Aww. Threw a pamphlet at him instead of a book. White. Professor Carlos Danger. White. White only grabs a girl by the pussy if she's underage. White. Aww. One who knows all the words, the sweet child of mine. White. He went and got a certificate in pedophilia. White. Definitely white. I don't even have anything clever. This story is so damn white. Hellman's white. Justice system white. Elmer Hoskins the third white. Locker room talk white. The correct answer is white. Good job, everybody. You guys all knocked that one out the park.
Woohoo!
Just like he used to try to take them kids to the park.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's his picture there, guys. I don't know if y'all can see it yet. Is it coming up?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looks, you know, like a regular looking dude. I wouldn't know he was out here shopping for children's.
No, I'm lying.
All right, let's go to the bonus round. I won't play the music. Let's see. How about this one? A 17-year-old has been accused of fatally shooting his own parents. Mm-hmm. It's a reasonable reaction to have. Apparently, Sheriff Bill Franklin says April Holton and her husband Mike were shot in the head at their home Sunday. Mike Holton, who was the former mayor of Eclectic, was pronounced dead at the scene. April was transported to the hospital in critical condition and pronounced dead Monday. The couple's oldest child, 17-year-old Jesse Holton, was arrested Monday and charged with one count of murder. Earlier Monday, Sheriff said Jesse Holton would likely be charged with another count of murder if his mother died. The shots were fired shortly after an Elmore County deputy visited the family's home at the request of the parents. So they had to call the police on their own kid.
Wow.
Franklin said the police were upset after finding drugs. Oh, the parents were upset after finding drugs and paraphernalia left over from a party reportedly thrown by the 17-year-old suspect.
At the house.
Right. Oh, you got coke and hookers up in here? Well, now I got to kill y'all. Franklin, Mike greeted the deputy. He said, hey, look, trying to teach my son a lesson. When you go in, I pretty much handcuffed him and put him on the couch. He said, as he explained the situation to the deputy. Franklin said the deputy collected evidence and left the scene. The Holtons walked the deputy out to the car, leaving Jesse alone inside. 20 minutes after the deputy left, dispatch received another call from the neighbor. There was a short while later, he received a call from a neighbor who said the 17-year-old had come to his house and said there had been some mayhem there. So, hurry, it's been some mayhem. I caused it. When the deputy returned, parents had been shot in the head with the family gun. The suspect denied that he pulled the trigger, but the wounds weren't consistent with a murder-suicide. Yeah, why would they murder-suicide themselves right after calling the cops on their son?
He know you did that shit.
We're such bad parents. We got some issues with some things he was saying with what we thought were the entry and exit wounds on Mr. and Mrs. Holton, Franklin stated. It's unclear what transpired after the Holtons walked back inside their house. Their bodies were found on the floor of their bedroom. Yep. We know now the entry and exit wounds are whereas we thought, and we know there's no way Mr. Holton took his own life.
Right.
So they know the 17-year-old did it. They said he shows no emotion. The daddy, Mike, and mother were very desirous of coming down the following morning on Monday and seeking a petition for the boy to go in front of a juvenile judge. Franklin said Jesse Holton would not discuss whether that was a factor in the shootings. Franklin said the suspect admitted to having anger management issues. Yeah, well, no shit. As long as he smokes his marijuana and takes his pills, he's okay, Franklin said the suspect told him. But when he doesn't, he becomes more irate. Maybe he was self-medicating with all them drugs at the party.
Never know.
Maybe the party was even self-medication. His bond was set at $150,000. That's it? Wow. Anyway, guess the race of, what was this kid's name? Mike Holton? No, that's not his name. Jesse Holton.
It don't matter, he white.
It don't matter what his name is, y'all. Karen says, this is a white kid, all right? Let's check the chat room and see what y'all believe. Cliffs of, wait, hold on. Now it's moving too fast. Hold on, let me go back up. Cliffs of Dover during a blizzard white, school shooting white. Black kids ain't even allowed to have closed doors in their parents' house, let alone coke and hookers. He white. Suffers from affluenza white. White kid who saw someone say shots fired on Black Twitter and misunderstood.
Aww.
Must like Trunk misunderstood them hip hop lyrics. Start grabbing women's pussies, huh? Mm-hmm. Uncle Jesse was tired of that full house white black family. Would have beat the kid booty white as the mayhem in those Allstate commercials. Call parents by their first name white. Had a gun and lived white. Eric Cartman white. Lone Wolf white. Trump bastard. Minimum sentence is too harsh white. Has money for coke white. Not arrested for having coke white. Yeah, how did he not get arrested? How did he, they came for drugs and found him and was like, all right, you, looks like everything's okay here. Well, y'all have a good day. Oh, y'all
wonder why 20 minutes later they found the parents dead.
Y'all know y'all right, cause if there's a black parent to never call the cops to teach their kid a lesson. Not with the lessons they teach us are deadly and forever. We don't never get no second chance with our lesson.
Everybody would have been dead, the child and the parents, cause everybody would have, they'd have claimed everybody was at that party.
Right. Our lessons be them dangerous lives lessons from the we spending most of our time in an end of gangster paradise. We get them lessons. Anyway. Everybody got that one. He was super white.
Come on, dog.
Just eggshell white. Is it showing up in the chat yet? All right. See if I can give it a second so you guys can see it. I need to reshare it. Sorry, sometimes it just moves slow.
No problem.
All right.
Yes, you're frozen on my screen. Now you move okay, on
your screen. Let me refresh. Okay. Yeah, I'm frozen on my screen too.
Okay.
Damn it.
And that might be why nobody's seeing it.
Oh, then I start moving as soon as I unfroze. Great job. Great job.
I'm gonna give it a few seconds.
Anyway, he look like a white kid. I don't know if you guys
like a white kid.
Need a complex explanation, but he look like a 17-year-old white kid. Kind of look like Steve from Stranger Things, which I know you didn't watch, Karen, but I'll put it in the chat room so they can see it when I get back in there.
Okay.
All right, let me see if I can put him on screen. He looked like Steve from Stranger Things. You guys, anybody that watched it, maybe y'all recognize him. But he looks a little bit like that, except, you know, murderous.
Oh.
Yeah. Like a throwback 80s movie kid.
Oh, them chances.
Like he could have been in the Breakfast Club or some shit.
I'm throwing a party at my house.
All right, guys. Let's do the last thing we do before we get out of here. We gotta talk about this sword ratchetness. Now give me my drugs back, Dad. Police in the East Coast Kinabatangan district have arrested an Indonesian man armed with a samurai sword and a dagger at oil palm plantation. Kinabatangan police chief Supta Sahak Ramat said 21 packets containing suspected sayabu were also seized from the 32-year-old man who did not have any identification documents. What is sayabu? I wonder what that is. Let's see, I had to Google this. The Malaysian life. What the hell is sayabu? That's the first thing that addict gets girl 12 hooked on sayabu for sex. It's a stimulant that can treat ADHD. So I guess people use it for drugs recreationally. And they addict 12-year-old girls to sex with it.
Wow.
Supt Sahak said acting on a tip-off, police personnel went to the oil palm plantation on Tongod and found the man with a samurai sword strapped to his back. He said a struggle ensued when a man began examining the man who was later overpowered and arrested around 8:35 p.m. A dagger was found tucked into his waistband. Damn, he was double dangerous. And then they found 17 small size and 4 medium packets containing crystal substance they believe to be sayabu. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. And if everything goes right, Aisha Callahan should be here tomorrow, who was on here before, who writes for The Root. One of my favorite people to follow on the internet. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.